Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. And Matt, we have a huge episode today. Here's what we're going to talk about. Today's November 24th, day before Thanksgiving. So maybe either a really good day or a really bad day to release a podcast is Thanksgiving.
I think it's good because I don't know how many people are going to listen tomorrow, but I think, you know, people have to drive places. And I think, you know, that whole weekend after, they're going to want things to fill their time. So,
yeah. And none of this is time pertinent necessarily. Not breaking news over here. So,
yeah.
So here's what we're doing. We got my top 10 coaching jobs in college football. Not top 10 teams, not top 10 programs. If I were a head coach, the top 10 schools I'd want to be at. And we're also talking about my article about the University of Notre Dame, more specifically my experience there. I went to the game against North Carolina a couple weeks ago, and it was the funnest game of my life. So we're going to talk about that. Matt edited it for me, as always. I appreciate it. We also have our cousin, Noel Newfate, coming on the show. He's an offensive lineman at Southern Utah University. His mom is my mom's niece. So I think I'm technically cousins. We're technically cousins with his mom, but we're the same age, so we just say cousins. But his dad is Polynesian, so he's half white, half poly, and he is enormous. No one believes me when I say we're related, which is understandable, but super nice guy, killing it at Southern Utah, so we're going to talk to him. But first, let's talk about Ghost Golf real quick, Matt.
Let's talk about Ghost Golf.
Just real quick, because again, I love their stuff. If you listened last episode, you heard me talking about the magnetic towels. They're just easy. They just stick to everything. I keep them on my wedge. You can put them on your golf cart, anything metal, basically. Super easy to carry with you. They're great Christmas presents. I'm giving one to my little brother. He's actually giving one to his father-in-law as well. Christmas is coming up. You get 15% off with Cowden15. That's Cowden15. The link is in my Twitter and my Instagram bio at JacobCowden28. The towels are awesome. I just got a glove. They got cool belts as well. So a ton of cool golf accessories. Check it out. Ghost Golf, Cowden15. Link in my bio at JacobCowden28. All right. Let's talk about some coaching jobs, Matt.
Let's talk about some coaching jobs.
So let's read my list, just the top 10 list, and then go from there. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's great.
I actually don't have it pulled up, so do you want to?
Yes, I've got I'll read through. So again, these are Jake's rankings. They're not mine. I disagree with several points, which we'll get into. But Jake has USC number one, LSU two, Ohio State three, Florida State four, Georgia five, Florida six, Texas seven, Miami eight, Oregon nine, and Oklahoma 10.
The only debatable point is you could put Texas A&M at 10 instead of Oklahoma.
See, well let's start there because I think that's an interesting place to go. I think, you know, historically, I think this list is probably right. Today, though, I would put Oklahoma ahead of Texas for sure. Not A&M, just like regular Longhorns, Texas. I don't think they're on the list anymore.
See, here's why I have Texas on the list. What natural part of the University of Oklahoma is better than the University of Texas?
So we can't include football records?
No, like not Lincoln Riley, just literally the University of Oklahoma. What is naturally better about that than the University of Texas?
Well, I guess if we pretend that all of these factors don't exist that I think kids are actually picking on, then I guess where even is Oklahoma? I guess that goes to your point.
Exactly. It's in Norman, which is outside of Oklahoma City.
Yes. Well, Austin is certainly bigger than Norman. It's certainly got more food. I think your premise is silly, but I will give you that point.
Austin is closer to Dallas. It's closer to Houston. It's in the same state. It's the flagship school in arguably the best high school football state in the whole country.
Sure.
Oklahoma is not.
Sure.
Oklahoma just wants to win so darn bad. They've just willed themselves to be one of the best historical programs ever.
But here's the thing, though. If you are a top five quarterback and you think, I want to go to the NFL, you look at Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick. You look at Kyler Murray, number one overall pick. Spencer Rattler, supposed to be the overall number one pick before he lost his job. So that's not going to happen anymore. But that's not Oklahoma's fault, per se. Like, that wouldn't really put me off as a recruit.
Here's the thing. If we're talking, like, program, Oklahoma is a better program now, better program historically. And that's an indictment on Texas as much as it is an, oh my gosh, for Oklahoma. Again, Oklahoma has to go to Texas to get players.
Right.
It's embarrassing that Oklahoma is not on the same level, but above Texas.
But wouldn't that be frustrating for you as the coach of Texas that you want these people and then they would rather go to Oklahoma because they think they have a better chance of winning there, and then they're right?
No,
like, that's the thing that makes it a better chance.
Because as a head coach, I think I can take advantage of all of this.
So
that's what it is.
Well, coaches do have that thing where they see quarterbacks and they're like, well, I can fix this.
Coaches are like girlfriends. Am I allowed to?
I have no idea where that was going.
And this is general neutral, but people in relationships want to date the broken person because they see something they can fix. I can fix them. I can do it. That's exactly how football coaches are like. And to me, the University of Texas is the there's no reason Texas shouldn't be a top 10 program every year. Again, as much money as you can want. It's in Austin, Texas, close to Dallas, close to Houston. And honestly, San Antonio does an underrated job with recruits, just the whole state.
Yeah.
Until like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when Texas A&M went to the SEC, every kid wanted to go to Texas, especially like the 70s and the 80s. Like, everyone wanted to be a Texas Longhorn. That's not true anymore. But there's no reason at all. Literally, Oklahoma, like the Dust Bowl, like in like the 30s, they're like, well, we don't have food, but we have football. And we're going to be good at that. And ever since then, they've been like a great football program.
Yeah.
But that's not a legitimate reason they should be better than Texas. And good for Oklahoma, but.
Okay, so what. So what I'm hearing is that college football coaches would rather be at Texas than Oklahoma. So I think if the list were the top 10 schools that college coaches want to go to, I think that might be correct. However, the list is what are the best coaching jobs? And I still think Oklahoma is a better coaching job. I think they can get better recruits. They do get better recruits. People want to go to Oklahoma before they want to go to Texas.
So I wrote it, if I were a coach and I was offered every job, this is in order the list of schools I would go to.
What you said is, and I have your tweet right here, the top 10 coaching jobs in college football.
Yeah, I think they're synonymous.
No, they are not.
No, but like, it's so much harder. Think of how much more work Oklahoma has to do. They not only have to go into Texas to get these kids, they have to go to California, they have to go to Florida, and they do it, and they do it well, but it's so much, there's so much more that they have to do. And again, it works, and they're doing it great, but there's just so much more, and it'd be so simple. I can't figure out why Texas isn't better than Oklahoma.
And see, that's the thing. I feel like Oklahoma has done a lot of this work already, to the point that Lincoln Riley does not have to do as much of that work. And if you're going to take over Texas, you actually have to weirdly do more work than Oklahoma to win back your place.
Well, Texas, you have to like fix Texas. Like, did you see the video a couple weeks ago where the Texas team was on the bus after a loss? It might've been the West Virginia loss. And some coach was like chewing them out because they were like laughing and stuff. And a kid was like filming it. And like, they're getting chewed out for not like taking the loss seriously, not playing well. And the kid filming it is just the ultimate, you really don't get it. This doesn't matter to anyone at all. Like, that's what you have to fix at Texas.
Yeah.
And Mac Brown couldn't, that's why I wasn't excited about Mac Brown in North Carolina, because the end of the Texas was so bad. Charlie Strong couldn't do it. Tom Herman couldn't do it. Sark's off to a horrible start, losing to Kansas. And I thought he was going to be good. I actually really liked – I met Steve Sarkisian, one guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah, shout out
BYU. Yeah, BYU. But yeah, I don't know why what it is, but there's something like deeply wrong with the culture at Texas. But they should be This is honestly the same thing with Alabama, who's not even on the list, and I don't know if you want to get there now. There's no reason Alabama should be better than Florida, should be better than LSU, should be better than Texas, should be better than USC, other than they just want it so darn bad. That's all it is. And apparently that's all you need.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is similar. And you talked about some other things about Alabama, how it is much easier to get fired at Alabama and you have the shortest leash in the country. And I think that makes it justifiable for not having them on this list. But I feel like the actual winning and the kids knowing, oh, I will go to the NFL if I go to this school, I feel like that is the thing that makes it a good coaching job. I feel like so much of the groundwork has already been laid. We don't need to worry about that really anymore.
But how much of that is Nick Saban?
I mean, but like Bear Bryant was doing it before Nick Saban.
Well, right, but there's a big gap in between where they're just a good SEC team. You know what I mean? But yeah. Like they've had two all-time coaches, and in between they were a good SEC team. They had moments, but it's not like they've been like Oklahoma has been like a high level. Ohio State's been like a high level their entire history, and that's not been the case with Alabama.
That's true. Yeah, it's weird. Like because when we were growing up, it was USC, Texas, and I do not remember Alabama being one of the schools that we ever heard of.
No,
I think at this point, if Nick Saban got fired, because if Nick Saban got fired, they're gonna be losing. And when I say losing, I mean 2 to 3 games. But if Nick Saban just left for some reason and someone took over, I feel like they would be they would just have to maintain, and that's gonna be hard. But I don't think Nick Saban is the only person capable of having this mystique and being at Alabama and attracting these types of recruits. I don't think it's a lot of people that can do it.
Yeah, Bear Bryant did it.
But I don't think that Nick Saban is the only person. I mean, we saw Dabo Swinney do it at Clemson, which it had zero history before him.
Well, that's also why Clemson's not on the list, because they've, other than the last 5 years, have not shown they can be a top 10 program. They had one national championship in 81. Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. And other than that, they haven't proven that they can be a top 5 program. Okay. So that's why Clemson's not on the list.
All right. The one thing that I was most curious about on the list, Florida State ahead of Florida. ¿Por qué?
The only reason is Florida State has to beat Syracuse and Pittsburgh, and Florida has to beat LSU and Alabama and Georgia. That's the only reason. Okay. Easier to get to the playoffs, easier to get to the national championship.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. That was it. And that and Florida and Georgia, debating between those three was tough. But the ACC, being an SEC program, which Florida State really is, in the ACC, is what put them ahead of Florida.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And their uniforms are a lot better.
Fantastic.
Florida's is pretty good, but Florida looks like they are from the 1930s, which I don't mind. I mean that as a compliment. Yeah. They've got the old school, but just I feel like if you can do that gold and maroon well, I think that's the best way.
The color scheme's perfect. The helmet is awesome with the arrow. They just do everything great. Mm-hmm. Big fan of the uniform at Florida State. Again, but this is programs. Florida State would not be on the list because they are like Texas, another just horribly run program. A lot of problems there. But if I'm a coach, I'm thinking I'm in Florida, which, again, just like Texas, Florida's probably maybe the number one state as far as, like, high school recruits. I have to beat Clemson every year, who's the second biggest school in the state of South Carolina. Like, it's just – they should be, just because of their schedule, a top 10 team, and especially with the playoff going to 12, hypothetically, you'd think they'd be able to be in the playoff every single year, basically, with that.
I think so. And yeah, it seemed like, I forget the name of their coach, but before then, it just seemed like they were going to be a regular in the playoff when they made it that first year.
Yeah, and then Jimbo left, had the whole Christmas tree thing. And even like Jimbo's last couple of years weren't great either.
No, they were not.
Yeah. And that was kind of like Mac Brown. That's why I wasn't sold on giving Jimbo, like, what he get, $9 million a year or something like that. Just because with Mac Brown, and when he left Texas, it was just so bad. Just so bad. And at Florida State, the cracks were just, it was falling apart when Jimbo left. So he kind of got out at a good time. And they haven't been able to fix it. But you think all this stuff, again, the schedule. My number one thing was, access to recruits. How close am I to the top recruits? Number two, how much competition am I going to have for the top recruits? And Florida State has to compete with all the SEC schools, not just Florida, Miami. But the third thing, how easy will it be to win? Florida State, I think, is number one probably in that category. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, good list. Check it out on Twitter.
Yeah. And yeah, that was just something I thought of literally at work. So I didn't workshop the title, which I was being criticized for a lot. I just thought of it.
You can't say that your title is one thing and then write that it's
another. I think it's synonymous. I think my opinion's correct. And the jobs I would want are the top 10 jobs in that order. That's why I would want them in that order. Okay. Should we talk about Notre Dame? Another school that didn't make the list.
Let's talk about Notre Dame.
Mostly for academic reasons. Game was unbelievable. I don't know what part we want to talk about this, but again, our undergrad roommate is at grad school in Notre Dame. So he got me his tickets. I went with my other cousin. His name's Aiden. Shout out. If I don't know if he listens to the podcast, he better be.
Yeah, he's been on. He should listen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he came on.
But Aiden, tweet us if you are listening to this.
If you're not, you're never coming to a game with me again. But yeah, we went. Game was Notre Dame's such a pretty campus. It's like that, like Yale, like goth. I don't know if gothic's the right word. I don't know my architecture, but like that old school. And the stadium's kind of like built around that. Like the athletic building kind of like surrounds the stadium. It's that same like gothic type architecture. Mm-hmm. And then just in the middle is Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Campus is super pretty. We were in the front row of the student section, which was super fun. The leprechaun was fun, like having him dance around. He was hyped up the entire game. You know how the leprechaun does like push-ups?
I do.
Every time they score? Well, I didn't realize this because I was on the front row, but like somewhere in the second quarter after Notre Dame scored, I turned around and like everyone in the crowd was like being thrown up and down to make it look like they were doing push-ups. It was so cool. The funnest atmosphere I've ever been at a college football game or any football game, I'll say for that matter.
Yeah.
Was there anything that stood out to you in the article that we're posting?
Well, one thing, and this, I guess, refers to like what makes a good job and what's not. This is in particular. But the thing about Notre Dame, and obviously I did not go to the game and I haven't been to nearly as many games as you, but I feel like Notre Dame football is probably more steeped in tradition than really anywhere else in the country. And that might just be because I've seen Rudy. But it does seem like they have marketed themselves as an old school team. They still wear kind of the same uniforms they've been wearing for 100 years. They kind of have these things that they do over and over again, which you alluded to. And so that it feels more like a historical program, even than Yale, which obviously was really good back in the day, but they haven't maintained the quite the same way. And that's what I thought was the interesting thing about the article, is just how historical of a football team Notre Dame seems to be.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's honestly how I would phrase it. Like, they put such an emphasis on their national championships, their Heisman winners. Like, at BYU, for example, like, in the stadium concourse, they have, like, posters from, like, Steve Young, 1980, whatever. I don't remember if that's when he played. Or
he was 85, because he was right after the national championship. So he may have gone to 86, 87.
Or they had, like, the Ty Detmer-Miami game. Like, but it's focusing on, like, Ty Detmer. Like, Notre Dame has, like, the old game programs from, like, games in, like, the 20s and, like, 30s. Like, it's just such an emphasis on... And like Tim Brown, Heisman winner, the national championships that they've had. It feels like they're doing the same thing, and they've been doing the same thing for 100 years. So that's a perfect way to say it. It is super cool. Unbelievably fun. Can't say enough good things about it. I did say a lot. I was writing, and as I was writing this, I was like, this is going to be long.
It's one of your longer ones, if not your longest.
Yeah. It was like 2,700 words or something like that. But they're all good words, all quality words. It's on mjdoubletake.com. I'm posting it right now. Literally right now, I'm working only 2,300. Excuse me. But yeah, it's really, really cool. Especially if you're like into college football, never been to Notre Dame, I would read it. Just it'll motivate you to go, honestly, I think.
Yeah, just kind of give you a good feel for like what game day is like. And yeah, as we talked about the history, that doesn't necessarily mean it is the best game day experience. We get we obviously talked about Air Force and how everybody's different, but certainly the most historical game day.
Totally. Air Force was cool. Yeah, and I have a few things on my list. Like Ole Miss is on my list. I've heard that's awesome, like hanging out of the Grove and stuff. But his nothing. I don't think anything's going to beat the history of Notre Dame. And it was just really fun. A lot of fun stuff they do. So yeah, check out the article. It's on mjdoubletake.com. Should we get to the interview?
Let's do the interview.
Okay, so again, we're going to interview Noel Neufei. He's our cousin from Southern Utah University. We'll get to that right now. Welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. We're joined by our cousin, Southern Utah offensive lineman Noel Neufei. Noel, appreciate you making the time to come on with us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Now, no one believes that we're related because, Noel, you're what, 6'3", 6'4", at least?
Yeah, I'll actually have to say I'm 6'5", 6'6". Yeah, I'm pretty big.
Yeah, you're big. And you're half poly. We're not. We're all white, so no one believes we're related, but love watching you play. So excited to have you on. Now, you're at Southern Utah, so if people don't know, that's in the Big Sky, so that's like Weber State, Montana, Montana State,
yep,
Sacramento State, and it's actually a pretty good FCS conference.
Yeah, it's you know, we're going into the championship series right now. Our season ended, and so they take at least five teams from the Big Sky, and so I think the five teams that they took from the Big Sky will do well. I don't think one of them will win the whole series, but they will definitely compete in the championship series.
Do you watch at all schools like North Dakota or James Madison that aren't in your conference, but that you would hypothetically play against, or are you just focused on your conference the whole time?
I think I'd say we're mostly like focused on our conference the whole time, but within our conference, there's teams that are still playing those schools. Like I think Weber this past year played against James Madison and they ended up losing, but they competed really well. So we saw film of what James Madison was, and we've seen film on what like North Dakota State is, and they're very high, like, high performance teams, and you can just tell they have everything figured out at the FCS level.
How much of a drop off? Because you played Southern Utah play this year against San Jose State and Arizona State, who I think is a lot better than San Jose State. What would the drop off be from like Weber or North Dakota State or James Madison to like San Jose State, because I don't think it's that big of a drop-off compared to what people might think.
Absolutely. I definitely think people tend to believe that there is a huge drop-off from FBS to FCS, but a lot of the times is FCS is a lot of guys that bounce back. You know, they couldn't play at the FBS level for whatever reasons, and so they come to FCS, they blow up, they still get the same shot to go to the NFL, but I also think it's a lot of kids that weren't as exposed in high school, you know. They didn't get as much hype or whatever that they could. But then, you know, you see it all the time. FCS teams are beating FBS teams. Like Montana this past year just beat Washington Huskies, which, I mean, I don't know how well Washington Huskies has had of a season. But it just shows that I think the level of competition is still high. It's not like you're playing Bama every week, but they can still compete with the FBS teams that they're going against.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't you, because I think the recruiting and getting exposed is really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about your own recruitment and whether or not you talked to any other schools and what ultimately drew you to
CU? Yeah. So, I mean, I went to Maple Mountain High School, played with Jaron Hall. And thanks to his credit, he was someone that was very highly recruited. And coming out of Maple Mountain, actually, it was like an 8-year-old school at the time. And I'm pretty sure no one had actually gone D1 since Jaron. And so I was just a kid that ended up getting snaps my junior year. I didn't even play varsity my sophomore year. I was like a nobody. But then luckily my junior year, I moved to defensive line, and then schools were coming all the time to see Jaron. And as we all know, Jaron was focused on BYU, but luckily I had a good enough head coach that was like, well, since Jaren's not interested, I have a guy that will do anything, go anywhere, blah, blah. And I always wanted to go play football on the next level just because I had cousins. And so I was talking to Air Force, Wyoming, Oregon State. I was talking about any school and every school that I could. I was basically the leftover of Jaren, which is fine because it ended up working out for my own good. And then so I started talking to Weber, too. Weber was high up there, Air Force, Colorado, Wyoming, Oregon State. Then it was mainly just Mountain West schools. And then out of nowhere, SUU was actually came in like third week of the season. And they were like, hey, we really like your film. I know we haven't talked to you a lot, but we'll get to know you. But we want to let you know we have an offer. And from there on, it kind of just, that's kind of how the journey went about going to SUU and picking SUU.
That's cool. Was SUU the first school that offered you a scholarship?
Yeah, it was the first school, and then after that, Weber, like, immediately was like, whoa, they just offered you? Okay, we'll offer you too. And so it just kind of, it was just those two that played the big picture, and so I stayed loyal to where I was chosen first and where I was wanted first, and they were actually Big Sky champs that year. They were doing really well.
So if Weber State would have offered you first, it sounds like you might have gone there.
I would have leaned, yeah, more towards, and yeah. Especially now knowing who Weber State is, they're really good. But they were struggling, my senior, like, they were on the build-up, which I'm glad to see the success that they're having, but, yeah.
Well, that's what, yeah, so Noel, like us, went on one of Mormon mission, and it's hard because program can change a lot in 2 years. So you leave and come back, and it's in a completely different state, which is kind of tricky for a lot of the football players.
Absolutely.
Now, from my... I think when you came home, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you at least thought or had the option to, instead of going to SUU at the FCS level, go to a junior college, Snow, which is a pretty big junior college, and then try to go FBS after that. How seriously did you consider that?
Well, I considered it pretty heavy because I came home from my mission. I came home in July, and honestly, I hadn't heard much from SUU, so I was really worried. I was like, well, I haven't heard from SUU. I'm pretty sure they know I'm home, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, I have friends at Snow, so I'll just talk to them, and that'll be, like, my backup plan. And so I didn't hear back from SUU till about late November. I think it was their last game. But I actually followed one of their coaches on Instagram at SUU. His name's Coach Ursua, who's now at Weber. But anywho, I had posted on my story me at Snow, and he slid up on my story because I was enrolled at Snow. I was ready to go. And he slid up on my story and was like, hey, you need to give me a call, blah, blah, as soon as you can. And so then he calls me. He's like, yo, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm planning on going to Snow. Like, I haven't heard from you guys. But he was like, no, you're coming here. Like, we still have your offer for you. And he's like, I'll take care of you, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, I'll think about it. After I hung up, I was like, well, if I go to Snow, they have an offer, but I already have an offer for 4 years, and that's what matters most to me is my education and all of that. And so I was like, I'm just going to go to SUU and make the most of it. And it's been nothing but good for me since I've been there, and I'm glad I ended up making that choice for myself.
So I didn't know you were, like, literally enrolled down there.
Yeah, I was enrolled. Like, their head coach was planning on me. And I just texted him after I made that decision. I was like, hey, I'm not coming anymore. And he was very frustrated. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I can get you to go somewhere else. And I was like, you know, I'm grateful for what I got. And that's what I'm going to take. And it's been great.
Yeah, because we were at your Noel's sister's basketball game yesterday. And we were talking. It must be so hard to recruit, like at a junior college level, or even FCS, just because there's probably so much more variance. We're like, Alabama, they know the 20 guys they want to get, where
absolutely
there's so much more going on probably. So, and think how much time coaches spent just recruiting and like finding players and targeting players and things like that.
Absolutely. And I think what's hard about recruiting at the FCS level is that an FCS school will offer someone really early and then another FCS. And then it's like, whoa, this guy's kind of blowing up at the FCS level. And then an FBS school will come in like late and take that FCS, all those FCS offers away, you know, and catch him with, you know, we're the bigger school, we play better teams. and then he just blows up FBS. So then they got to go back to stage one of recruiting. You know what I mean? With their players and who they want. And it always just gets taken away by the FBS schools. So that's the struggle, I guess, too, with FCS recruiting.
Are there any guys on your team who had FBS offers?
Yeah, we have a few that I can think of. I mean, we just got done playing with a guy who bounced back from UCLA. Then we got a kid who just barely came from Oregon. He was a receiver there. And so SCU kind of used to get BYU's kind of players. A lot of BYU players that weren't finding enough time at BYU would come to SCU. But that's kind of been less likely. But, yeah, we've had a lot of Pac-12 bounce backs actually come and play for us.
Well, that's because you were telling us last night that you don't even – you recruit more in, like, California, Las Vegas, Arizona than Utah anyways, which is kind of where a lot of –
which is kind of weird. Yeah. And I think we're getting a new head coach, so it just will depend on the new coaching. But, yeah, they've really got kids from big schools from Arizona too, like Chandler, Hamilton. There's a couple kids from there. And then you get – we got a couple kids from the CIF League out in California. So, yeah, they've gotten some good recruits from some pretty big schools, which is very surprising to just be Southern Utah and get those recruits.
Awesome. Now, before we go, I do want to make sure that we get some time to talk about NIL, because this is something that Jake and I on the podcast for a few years have talked about, was how we can get the college athletes played, particularly the football players, are bringing in so much money. And I don't know that we've talked about it since they've passed these NIL deals. And so I was pretty happy to hear that you and a lot of guys on your team have been able to take advantage of that so far. Is this something that for players on your team that they tend to seek those out from businesses, or do you guys get approached more often than not?
You know, I think personally as an athlete at a smaller school, I think it's more of us selling ourselves to whatever company or whatever people, instead of at the bigger level, people are coming to them. As you see, like, BYU's blowing up with that Built thing, like, mm-hmm. But Built kind of came to them. Unlike for us, like, I had to go out of my way, message the people and be like, hey, look, I like your product. I think it's awesome. You know, what can I do to be a part of your team? And so luckily I jumped on Solid, which is like a supplement, and they're coming out. They're like brand new and it's really awesome. I like what they're doing and I'm glad I'm able to jump on. And so we were able to work out things, and it's really cool with what they have going on as Solid.
Well, yeah, why don't you, I mean, if they're being able to pay you, why don't you tell us a little bit about them and what the supplements do?
Yeah, so they have pre-workout, amino energy, and the science behind the supplement is they're just these little tabs. So instead of, as you know, like you have to have a shaker, you got to grab your water, shake it all up, drink it, you know. The science behind it is behind the tab is you'll just pop a tab in before going to work out, and the tab dissolves within, what, 5-10 minutes, and it's already kicking in your system because you took it by mouth. And so usually you start to feel it by 5 to 10 minutes, and then you're ready to go for your workout. Unlike pre-workout, you got to wait, you got to drink it, you know, kind of wait a little bit, and then it kicks in. So Solid was just able to give us a little money and say, look, if you guys kind of spread the word, kind of like a gospel term, but you go spread the word to your friends and they buy your product in your name, then you will get 20% of what they sell and we'll give them 30% off of their purchase. So it's a cool little deal. I mean, you do still got to do a little bit of work for your own self, but if you can do that through your name and through your image, I don't see a better deal out there that you can use right now, at least.
Yeah. No, I think it's really cool because, I mean, I don't know exactly how much money the SEU football program is making, but I certainly know for like a BYU, they have a thing with all of their female athletes. And I know that like the girls on, you know, the swimming team, for example, they're not going to be able to attract a lot of companies. So I think, or like, and the school's not necessarily going to have enough money to pay them. So I think it's cool for like you guys to go out, make your own deals for them to go out and make their own deals. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to give your promo code out and we'll put it in
Yeah, I got you. My promo code is just Anufe Pride, which is my last name, UNUFE Pride. And yeah, get your deals. Just use my name. And Solid's actually really cool. I really think it's the next thing big for working out and for supplements.
Sweet. Yeah, we'll put that on, like, all the podcasts, Apple and Spotify, and all our Twitter stuff as well.
Sweet.
Hook you up a little bit. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Trying to think what other questions I want to ask you. Oh, just lastly before you go, we're at the time I told you, but conference realignment, you guys said you might be moving conferences or possibly going to FBS, right?
Yeah, so we ended up switching to the WAC, which was, I think it's the Western Athletic Conference. And if I believe right, what used to be the WAC was teams like Hawaii. It was like the old Mountain West before Mountain West switched over.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it was a WAC, and then they switched it over to the Mountain West. So they're bringing the WAC back. Dixie State's part of it. A lot of Texas schools are part of it. Tarleton State. There's a couple other schools, but the rumor is behind it all that their purpose of making the WAC is to carry it up to the FBS level within, I'm pretty sure, the next 5 years, which is crazy to think that SUU could be up there, but I definitely think it's a great opportunity to take advantage of.
Have you seen, and obviously you're not recruited because you're already on the team, but have your coaches been talking to players like, hey, we're going to be FBS soon, programs moving up, things like that? Is that part of the recruiting pitch now?
Yeah, I don't know all the recruiting pitches that the coaches have, but it's got to be. I mean, all kids want to go D1 and D1's FBS to a lot of kids in high school. I don't think a lot of them think that FCS is even considered, you know, is considered D1. But, yeah, I think it's huge.
All right. My last question, Matt might have another one. Just recap quickly. You told me yesterday about playing at San Jose State, Arizona State, and Montana. Tell me about those three and what was the coolest one, quickly.
Oh, that's rough. San Jose State, Arizona State. San Jose State was cool. It was a big school. They just came off a Mountain West championship, but I wouldn't say that was the best. Arizona State, Pac-12, packed house, first game in Arizona that they've ever had, like, since COVID. And so there were a lot of fans. It's tough. I would definitely say environment-wise, Arizona State. But game-wise, I loved Montana. I guess it's both environment, but Montana was loud. It was extremely loud for 26,000 fans, and they were just on you. And I gave up like a holding, I think, in that game. And I remember coming back to the bench, and like the fans are literally on top of you, and I'm trying to receive a coaching point from my coach. And there's just one fan, just 66, like, coach, don't coach him. Like, that's not going to work, blah, blah. Like, and it was just like, holy cow, like, this is what you dream of as a kid, playing at the big stage. And now you're here. So I would say those two are in a high, but I would give it to Montana.
Yeah, and when I lived in Arizona, I'd go to Arizona State games a couple times a year. It's an awesome stadium. Fans definitely have a good time there. So I'm going to have to make my way up to Montana if that's above Arizona State.
Get that experience.
Yeah, totally. Matt, you have anything?
No, I think I'm good. I think we covered what we wanted to, but appreciate you coming on, man. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Again, that's Noel Newfay, our cousin. We've family resemblance. yeah, so offensive lineman at Southern Utah University. They're playing the University of Utah next year, so that'll be a big game that we're excited for.
We'll see you guys there. I'll get you tickets and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Be decked out in my Thunderbird stuff. Awesome. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Okay, see you.
All right, welcome back again. Appreciate Noel, our cousin, for coming on. Noel Newfay, his code, I'm pulling it up right now, is Unufay Pride. We'll put it on all the Twitter and Instagram stuff. Offensive lineman in Southern Utah. You know what we didn't ask him that we forgot about? They had like a season in the spring and in the fall. That would have been cool to talk about.
Come on, us.
Didn't even think about that. So maybe we'll have him on again. But yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate Noel coming on. Appreciate the healthy debate on my correct list and Matt's incorrect opinions on coaching jobs in the country, especially Oklahoma over Texas. in the Notre Dame article. That's on mjdoubletake.com, writing about my experience at the University of North Carolina and Notre Dame football game. Super fun. Read the article. Check out Ghost Golf. The towels especially are awesome, but they have everything, hats, gloves, belts. Link in my bio for that. I think I covered everything. Is there anything?
No, I think that was a good resume of the episode.
Yeah. That was a long one. That was a fun one. Happy Thanksgiving. Again, you're probably listening to it after Thanksgiving, unless this is your Turkey Bowl warm-up. We're going golfing tomorrow.
We are going golfing.
Skipping the Turkey Bowl for golf.
Maybe you are listening to us as you do your Thanksgiving dishes. That's very possible. Because I like podcasts when I do dishes and clean and stuff.
I do mine when I go to sleep.
That's good. I like that, but then I like fall asleep, so it has to be a podcast. Like, I sort of want to listen to you, but there are other ones that I want to listen to more that I'll be awake for.
Yeah, I get that. So. Well, we appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate Noel for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you later.